Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to an episode of Living Loud Outdoors. On the mic with you, it's Saturday. This would be story time with Buster, but we finished our book last week. I have got the new material in where I want to go, but it just so happens, being today is the day before Easter, and you know what that means. It's the day between Jesus' crucifixion and the resurrection come Sunday morning. What an incredible time to talk about Silent Saturday. There's a lot of speculation about what happened from the time Jesus was put in the tomb. What happened on Saturday? What went on Saturday? There's a lot of teaching about it. There's a lot of misteaching about it. So I did some study. I did some research. Came up with a message that I really felt like is powerful. It's more kind of a teaching. I want to teach today on Silent Saturday. Or was it? It's a good question. The where was Jesus question understandably becomes very common around this time of year, around Easter. The death and resurrection of Christ being celebrated on Good Friday and Easter Sunday raised the question, what happened in between? Where was Jesus and what was he doing for those 3 days? Although technically he wasn't in the grave for 3 days. There's one of the misteachings right off the bat. What about the 3 days? If you really consider this, the actual timeline using our current calendar days, that is our week, the way we see a week, this all started with Jesus' arrest on Thursday after the Last Supper. Now, technically, catch up with me. Friday would have started at sundown. So sundown on Thursday, leading up to the trip into the garden. So they met on Thursday afternoon. They had the Last Supper. But Friday started at sundown. So Jesus went to the garden. That was his favorite place to be. He went into the garden to pray. And this is where we find the infamous line, "If this cup could but pass from me." I love that passage of scripture where Jesus was praying. He was so stressed, so overwhelmed that he physically sweat drops of blood. It is a physical possibility. You can actually look that up. Stress can cause your capillaries and your sweat glands to break, and you literally sweat what appears to be your blood. Now, we understand also that this is where the betrayal and the arrest happens, is in this, which would be Friday, but it's basically Thursday night. And then he's brought to a kangaroo court after his arrest, and he's tortured and he's beaten throughout the night. So Friday, after sunrise on Friday morning, would begin the day of his crucifixion and that march through the city carrying his cross to the hill Golgotha. Friday afternoon, he would say these words, "It is finished," and give up his spirit. He would be removed from the cross and his body placed in the tomb late in the afternoon on Friday. Because Saturday, the Sabbath, beginning at sundown on Friday evening, the officials, fearing someone would come and steal his body, got permission to seal the tomb with a royal seal and place guards in front of the door where a stone had been placed covering the opening. Jesus had been killed. Now his body's been wrapped in grave clothing and laid in a borrowed tomb. Here's the question. Did Jesus go to hell in between his death and resurrection? Answering this question is difficult because the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about where Jesus was and what he was doing between his death and resurrection. The Bible gives a few details, but even in the interpretation of those details, it becomes difficult. The first thing should be made very clear is that when we ask, where was Jesus? The question is referring to Jesus' soul or his spirit. Jesus' body was in the tomb. His body was in the tomb from the time it was placed there following his crucifixion until Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. Jesus' soul, his spirit, however, was not in the tomb. Basically, remember what he told the thief on the cross? "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So when he gave up his spirit on the cross, he was no longer in that shell of a body. His spirit and soul were going about his business. The question really is, where was Jesus spiritually, immaterially, in other words, between his death and his resurrection? Did he descend into hell between his death and his resurrection? There's a great deal of confusion regarding this question. The concept that Jesus went to hell after his death on the cross comes primarily from the Apostles' Creed, which states he ascended into hell or descended into hell. There was also a few scripture passages that, depending on how they were translated, described Jesus as going into hell. Now, in studying this issue, it's important to first understand what the Bible teaches about the realm of the dead. In the Hebrew scriptures, the word used to describe the realm of the dead is Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. You'll see that in many Psalms and Proverbs and things, Sheol. It simply means the place of the dead or the place of departed souls and spirits. The New Testament Greek equivalent of Sheol is Hades, which also refers to the place of the dead. The New Testament indicates that Sheol or Hades is a temporary place where souls are kept as they await the final resurrection and judgment. Remember, Jesus has not ascended into heaven yet. He's been on this earth living, breathing, and now he's just been killed in a brutal death, but he's not ascended to his Father yet. So Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15 makes a clear distinction between Hades and the lake of fire, being hell as we know it. The final judgment is how this verse passage is quoted. Starting with verse 11 of Revelation 20, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them, for this heaven and earth were passing away." Verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as written in the books, that is, everything done while on earth." In verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades, the realm of the dead, surrendered the dead who were in them. And they were judged and sentenced, every one according to their deeds." Verse 14, "Then death and Hades, the realm of the dead, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire, the eternal separation from God." Verse 15, and if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. That's pretty plain. It doesn't need a whole lot of descriptiveness to understand what's being spoken there. So basically, Hades, Sheol, the resting place for those who had died prior to Jesus' ascension, were taken there and judged at that moment. And then Sheol, Hades were done away with at that point. And the lake of fire is the permanent and final place of judgment for the lost. Hades is a temporary place. Many people refer to both Hades and the lake of fire as hell, and it causes a lot of confusion because they are not the same. Jesus did not go to a place of torment after his death, but he did descend into Hades. Sheol or Hades is a realm with two divisions, a place of blessing and a place of judgment. Matthew chapter 11, verse 23 says, "And you, Capernaum, are you to be exalted in heaven for your apathy and unresponsiveness? You will descend to Hades, the realm of the dead, for if the miracles done in you have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," death, "will not overpower it by preventing the resurrection of Christ." Luke 16, verse 23, "In Hades, the realm of the dead, being in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom in paradise." That's an interesting scripture. It actually describes, verse 26 describes a chasm between Abraham's bosom and Hades. Acts chapter 2, verse 27 through 31, "For you will not forsake me and abandon my soul to Hades, the realm of the dead, nor let your Holy One undergo decay after death. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will fill me, infusing my soul with joy in your presence. Brothers, I may confidently and freely say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, being a prophet and knowing fully that God had sworn to him with an oath that he would seat one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke prophetically of the resurrection of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, and that he was not abandoned in death or to Hades, to the realm of the dead, nor did his body undergo decay." The abodes of the saved and the lost are both generally called Hades in the Bible. The abode of the saved is also called Abraham's bosom. or Abraham's side, if you look at that in the King James Version, in the NIV, in Luke 16:22, and it talks about paradise in Luke 23:43. The abodes of the saved and the lost are separated by a great chasm. Again, Luke 16:26 describes that. When Jesus died, he went to the blessed side of Sheol. He went to paradise. Remember what he told the thief? Today you will be with me in paradise. That's where they went. They descended into to paradise, into the place of the dead, the realm of the dead, but it wasn't hell. Some believe, based on a particular interpretation of Ephesians 4, verse 8 through 10, that Jesus took believers with him from Sheol to another place of bliss that we now call heaven. But more likely, Ephesians 4 refers to the ascension of Christ himself. All the unbelieving dead go to the cursed side of Hades to await their final judgment. Make sure I'm getting my notes here. All the believing dead go to the blessed side of Hades to await the resurrection. So did Jesus go to Sheol or Hades? Yes. According to Jesus' own words, he went to the blessed region of Sheol. Some of the confusion has arisen from such passages as Psalm 16:10-11 that's translated in the King James Version. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Hell is not a correct translation in this verse. A correct reading would be the grave, that won't leave me in the grave or leave me in Sheol, the place of the dead. Jesus said to the thief beside him, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's Luke 23:43. He did not say, I'll see you in hell. There's a big difference there. Jesus' body was in the tomb. His soul, his spirit went to be with the blessed in the Sheol of Hades. Unfortunately, in many versions of the Bible, translators are not consistent or correct in how they translate the Hebrew and the Greek word for Sheol, Hades, and hell. Some have the viewpoint that Jesus went to hell, or the suffering side of Sheol, Hades, in order to further be punished for our sins. The idea is completely unbiblical. It was the death of Jesus on the cross that sufficiently provided for our redemption. It was his shed blood that effected our own cleansing from sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7-9 says, but if we really walk in the light, that is, live each day and every day in conformity with the precepts of God, as he himself is in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, he with us and we with him. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin by erasing the stain of sin, keeping us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. If we say we have no sin, refusing to admit that we are sinners, we delude ourselves and the truth is not in us. His word does not live in our hearts. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity with his will and his purpose. As he hung there on that cross, he took the sin, the whole sin burden of the whole human race upon himself. He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This imputation of sin helps us understand Christ's struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane with the cup of sin that he asked to pass from him in Matthew 26:39. That piece of scripture being, to me, a depiction of where Christ was the most human. He literally said, Father, if this cup could but pass from me. He knew what was coming. He knew what was going to have to come upon him. And he simply asked, is there any other way? But he finished that statement with, not my will, but yours be done. As Jesus neared death, he said these words in John 19:30, it is finished. His suffering in our place was completed. His soul, his spirit, went to Hades, the place of the dead. Jesus did not go to hell or the suffering side of Hades. He went to Abraham's side or the blessed side of Hades. Jesus' suffering ended the moment that he died. The payment for sin was paid. He then awaited the resurrection of his body and his return to glory in his ascension. Did Jesus go to hell? No. Did Jesus go to Sheol or Hades? Yes. Did Jesus fight Satan for the keys to the kingdom? There's another great one. Keys are a symbol of control. Keys keep people in or out. If they do not have a key to a lock, they cannot enter or exit. Keys grant the holder access to interiors and their contents, and in ancient times, the wearing of large keys was a mark of status of the community. In the New Testament, the word Hades was a twofold usage. In some cases, it denotes the place of all the departed dead, the grave, Acts 2, verse 27-31. In others, it refers to the place of the departed of the wicked, which would be hell in Luke 16:23, Revelation 20:13-14. Since Christ alone has conquered death and has himself come out of the grave, he alone can determine who will enter death and Hades and who will come out. He has the keys. He has the authority over death and the place of the dead. Satan has never possessed these keys. That's something you need to get. There's a song out there that just drives me nuts because it bugs me. It's a cool song, but it talks about how Jesus went and stole the keys from death, from Satan. How could Jesus steal? Stealing's a sin. Besides, they weren't Satan's to begin with. They belonged to God. Those keys were never in Satan's possession. So it's a misstatement. It's something. It's just something that we've allowed to be taught in a basically a loose way. Satan has never possessed the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Satan has never had power to determine who goes to heaven, the kingdom, or who goes to hell. Jesus did not have to fight Satan for the keys because the keys were never in Satan's possession. God and God alone has power over death and hell. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 through 18 says this, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, and he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, absolute deity, the Son of God.'" Verse 18, "And the ever-living one, living in and beyond all time and space, I died, but see, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of absolute control and victory over death and of Hades, the realm of the dead." Jesus did not have to fight Satan for anything, because Jesus' death on the cross was his ultimate victory. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 tells us this, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." For the Christian, there is no need to fear death or hell. Christ is in control of both, and the one who has faith in Christ will never enter hell. But it must be remembered, only Christ has the keys to the kingdom. This is why Jesus told us he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except by him, John 14:6. So on this Silent Saturday, as we reflect on everything that has just happened, remember this: Sunday's coming, and God's got it all in control. Jesus has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. All we have to do is trust in him. No one comes to the Father except through him. So it's by our relationship with Jesus Christ that we have hope, we have peace, and we have a complete understanding of where we stand for eternity. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for allowing me the freedom to speak this particular message on a day like today, Silent Saturday, that wasn't so quiet after all, I don't believe. Only for those who were still here, not fully understanding exactly what had taken place. Stay tuned for tomorrow morning's message. It'll be called The Day After. Ooh, I'm excited already about it. I've been pumped up since I found this word. Been digging through it, been working on it. I'm ready for tomorrow morning. Amen. Sunday's coming. Put your hat down tight. Get a good grip. We're about to go there. Amen. God bless you guys. Ron and I love you. Thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for walking with us on this journey. God has given us a mission to seek out that which is lost so that they may be found. Join us, partner with us on this mission as we continue to pursue his calling on our life. Amen. We love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you again real soon.